Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Views, the general topic podcast that takes a topic each week and casts views. This week, I have another guest with me, and again, it's another familiar voice both to this show and I'm sure in generally in your podcast listening. I've got Satsu from Chat Tsunami. Hello.
Hi there. It is a pleasure to be back, let me tell you.
I was going to say, I've been looking forward to this because I was just checking up beforehand. And you were actually my first guest on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, had you on here March 22. I was looking at the episode description and the first point of it was, listen today to find out what caused a friend of Satsunami's to smash a toasty maker. So and I remember that story, it came flooding back to me.
Oh, what a story. Poor toasty maker though. I don't think he got a new one after that.
If you want to hear about that, go listen to that episode because we're not talking toasties today. But I have to say, toasty makers are the most underrated machines ever, I think, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. Because I don't know if, you know how you see Americans talk about quote-unquote grilled cheeses and things and they're like frying them up and everything? That always weirds me out because I'm like, what, do you not have like a panini press or a toasty maker or do you not have anything like that? No, just fry them up, it'll be fine. I'm like, what?
And do you know what? I haven't had one since, well, I haven't had a machine for years, but I remember as a kid having them and they were hotter than the sun. The insides were hotter than the sun. And when you got the bit of cheese that came out the side of the breads and, just heaven. Yeah, oh, that's a proper... So grilled cheese sandwich.
Actually, funny enough, the only reason I have a panini press is because my co-host and friend Andrew decided to get me one as a gift because we used to go to uni together and he used to have one, so I would always kind of make jokes to be like, oh, look at you. You've not got a toasty maker, you've got a panini press. And then, like, for one of my birthdays, I got, like, this parcel from Amazon. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I pulled it out, and they didn't tell me I was sending it over. And I was like, Andrew, did you send me a panini press? He went, yeah. So
that's a good friend. You keep him. You keep him.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good
friend. Yeah. If you're listening, Andrew, listen to this.
Well, again, like I said, thank you for coming on, because this is actually our third collaboration, because, yeah, I had you on March last year, then I was on your show earlier this year, wasn't I, as we spoke about As Dusk Falls, and I've got you on now for a different chat. Last time I brought you on, it was gaming related, but I like to only do that once with a guest. I like then to have a different topic, which I think we've done for you, or out of your normal podcasting world, so I think we've done that this time, haven't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is a topic that I have to admit I haven't covered yet, so I'm very, very excited to be tackling it. Yeah.
Before we give away, well, I keep saying that, but the episode description will give it away. So, but before we give it away to anyone who's gone straight into this without listening, do you just want to? We'll do all the formalities at the start rather than the end. Do you just want to give a brief overview of your pod and kind of what you're working on at the moment and your socials for people to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you listening, my name's Satsunami, and as Dan wonderfully introduced me, thank you, I am the host of the Chat Tsunami podcast, which is a Scottish variety podcast. We talk about a host of subjects from gaming and films to anime and general interests. And of course, as you said, Dan, you were on as well for one of the episodes for the As Dusk Falls review. That was incredible. So if you want to catch us on social media, usually we're under the name Chat Tsunami, but if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, it's at Chat Tsunami Pod. And if you want to listen to our podcast, you can hear it on our website, podpage.com/chattsunami. And yeah, any good podcast app really you can hear us on. So yeah, I feel as if that's us. Don't worry, I won't
look for the red panda. Look for the red panda.
Yeah, that's something that I've been forgetting to say more and more.
But seriously, if you're not already, press subscribe on the Chet Tsunami podcast. I know people are going to say you have to say it, but no, I do love your podcast.
Thank you.
It's just the variety you do. So you'll be talking. So at time of recording, this goes out in a few weeks, but time of recording, you're doing a Simpsons month. You've done a lot of theme months. Haven't you done Terminator? You've done Sonic. You'll then talk about random or you'll do sort of films and it's everything, and it's like I said, I think you've done an anime month recently or a couple of episodes on anime, so you really do, within your kind of niche, you are still got quite a bit of variety.
I mean, it's kind of the blessing and a curse of a variety podcast, isn't it? Like, you'll know yourself with the amount of like amazing subjects that you do, but it's like, you might not have that kind of focus on the subject, but on the plus side, it means you can talk about anything you want, really, can't you?
Oh, I've got an idea board, and I'm like, basically now I'm getting to the point where on my commute to work, I'm just looking and saying, right, what's going to hit me in the face this time? What can I do an episode on? But yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, so as I said, hit subscribe for me. If you want to be like Satsu and appear on a show, you can get hold of me at castingviewspod@gmail.com or at castingviews on Twitter. And yeah, if you want to press subscribe on my pod, please do. Appreciate that. Now, before we get into the show, let's hear from some friends of the pod.
Hey, this is Ken M.
And Padawan J.
From the ODPH podcast.
Each week, we talk a parlay of topics.
That's right. Whether it's sports, pro wrestling, movies, TV, comics, and more, we've got a take on it.
And don't forget, odphpodcast.com for links for Patreon, TeePublic, and the Parlay Points blogs, and much more.
Thanks for listening to the ODPH podcast. Now back to your regularly scheduled show. You know I don't know I
was so damn awesome. Right, we are back. So, Satsu, we are going to talk about advertising, but more specifically banned/complained/well bizarre. It all kind of intermingles, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. And it's kind of a fine line though, isn't it? It's like you watch an advert and you think, how is that not banned? And then you watch the banned adverts and you're like, how is this banned?
You've hit the nail on the head there. It's really odd because it feels like, well, some of the ones that I've picked anyway are complained about and banned for quite an odd reason, or a reason that you would look at and think, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that, because they're not anything overly malicious or, what's the word, not dark in tone.
Yeah.
But the viewing public, whether it be parents or something, have picked up on a particular thing. And like you said, there are some that you think, sheesh, how's that not been complained about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a couple on my list where I was looking at the kind of year that they were banned in, and I was like, how did it take so long for this to be banned or at the very least challenged by someone?
I was going to say then, I think you might have answered it. Were there some, as you were looking into this, that surprised you or you weren't aware of and you thought, wow?
So one of the ones that comes to mind, do you want me to give examples? Sorry.
Well, tell you what, before we do that, if we're going to get stuck into it, I was just going to throw some info and stats at you and the listener.
Oh, go for it.
We've got the Advertising Standards Authority. So they are a self-regulatory organisation of the advertising industry in the United Kingdom. It's non-statutory, so can't interpret or enforce legislation. However, its code of advertising broadly reflects legislation in many instances. So ultimately, its role is to regulate the content of advertisement, sales, promotions, and direct marketing in the UK. So ultimately, they're the ones who say, right, advertising shouldn't be misleading, there should be no ambiguity, exaggeration, etc., etc. Now, I was trying to find some stats, and it only went into 21, so I don't know if maybe how they report it, but the Advertising Standards Authority received a record 43,325 complaints about 22,115 ads in 2021. That was up 44% on the previous year.
Well, to be fair, yeah, a lot of people were at home during that time.
That's true, actually. That's a very, very good point. So he said, as a result, it amended or removed a total of 20,456 ads. It's keen to say it's not just TV adverts, so it will cover also, I think, online and publication ads. So online advertisements was the most complained about advertising media, making up almost half of all complaints. and up to 2/3 of the total number of complained about cases, and the figure had risen by 19% since 2020. TV was the second most complained about medium, which I get, making up almost half of all complaints. And this is the one I saw. I mentioned there might be something for you. So this line here that got my interest when I knew you were coming on. As for complaints by nation, the ASA revealed that proportionately people in Scotland are more inclined to lodge a complaint about an ad, whether on the grounds of misleadingness, harm or offence, than people in any other of the nations.
Wow, that is actually quite surprising.
Yeah, I kind of was a bit taken aback by that. So how many ads have you complained about then?
Not many, I have to say. I'm just trying to think because, I mean, considering we are the country that has, like, I Am Brew adverts and things like that, which are inherently bizarre and everything.
Odd. Not odd. Surprising.
Yeah, I mean, considering we're only, what, 5-6 million of a population compared to down south, yeah, I'm actually surprised that out of all the countries in the UK, we are the ones who moan the most. Well, sorry, I just answered my own question. Never mind.
I mean, I didn't dig into it a little bit more, but that was the headline figure. Northern Ireland and Wales are reportedly less likely to complain. Yeah, I think that's all I want to say about the ASA. So that was just a little bit of a background to say that ultimately there are, as you'd expect, rules and guidelines in place. So yeah, over to you, because we collected some that, well, there's some I remember and I looked at online to see what the most complained about. But yeah, guests always go first in terms of examples and that. So what do you have?
Going back to what I was saying before there about being surprised that it wasn't banned until much later, do you remember the Yorkie adverts?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is something that I feel as if younger listeners of your show wouldn't like maybe understand or be like, what the hell are you talking about? But you know where. So basically, there was an ad campaign years and years ago where it was the chocolate bar Yorkie. But for some reason, they had this campaign where they said that it wasn't for girls. So they had all these adverts of like women dressing in men's clothes and having a fake mustache, trying to pass as a man and everything. And it wasn't, fun fact, it wasn't until 2011 that they finally pulled that advert. And I was like, how did it take them so long? Because it was the early 2000s, I think, that it started. And it was everywhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like you said, it was very stereotyped. So the ones I remember as well, the men were kind of like truckers or things like that. You know, it was a manly chocolate, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I was actually watching a couple of them just before I came on tonight. And I remember it was like this woman who was like very, you know, stereotypically, she was quite short and everything, but she had like the comically large mustache, the hard hat on for a construction job, the high-vis vest and everything. And it was just, it was so strange. Looking back on it, it's one of those things that when you grew up with it, you didn't really bat an eye at it. But looking back on it, you're kind of just like, oh my God, how did they get away with that?
Yeah, and like you said, 2011, that's, I mean, okay, it's 12 years ago now, but yeah, that does feel quite late. That was a tagline, wasn't it? Yeah, not for girls.
Yeah, literally, it was like, Yorkie, not for girls. And I mean, my naive mind as well kept thinking, is there an actual reason it's not for girls? Because I think, I'm pretty sure I saw like a girl or a woman or someone eat a Yorkie once when I was out in public. And like, I had this kind of, just sitting in my room that night thinking, she ate a Yorkie, but Yorkies aren't for girls. What is going on? You know, it was like my own conspiracy theory. I was like, what's going on here?
Need to call the confectionery police.
Call the ASA. Yes. There's been a breach in the marketing. Get them.
I have to admit, though, I don't now recall seeing a Yorkie advert really since. I don't know. I mean, it's a very... it doesn't stand out. It's a bar that on a shelf doesn't really jump out, does it?
Yeah, it kind of blends in with all the other ones. Yeah, I think you're right, though, because I can't remember off the top of my head any adverts they've done, like, recently for Yorkies. Or if they have, it's probably been so milquetoast and bland that, you know, it's just blended in with everything else.
Oh, dear. That's a really good one. I'd completely forgotten about that. Okay, I had my first one was, do you remember the Tango Slap?
Oh,
yeah. Or you young? You're probably a bit young, really.
Is that Get Tangled?
Yeah. So for listeners, we've got a fizzy soft drink here called Tango, and it's multi-flavours, isn't it? You've got orange and apple were like the main ones, but I think it's since branched out into all sorts of flavours. The ad itself, this was back in the 90s, it was, there were three guys standing, I think it was outside a pub actually, looked like on a street corner. One of them's drinking from a can of Tango. And then it stops and then it rewinds and there's a commentator talking over it. And when they rewind it, then play it forward in, I think it's slow-mo, you see from out the corner, this bald guy who's painted up to be orange and he's in what looks almost like a nappy, comes running up in a comedic way. And as the guy takes a swig of the can, he slaps him in the face with both hands, doesn't he? Kind of like around both ears and then runs off. And the guy looks shocked and the ad line is, you know when you've been tangoed.
Yeah, the you've been tangled line carried on well into like the early 2000s, but I'm gonna admit here I don't remember that until I'm looking at the like the images on Google, and this looks terrifying. Oh my god.
it's quite bizarre, and I think the fact it is sort of from 30 years ago or so gives it that little bit more of an edge now. As I was looking at it, if you'll allow me, I've got a brief sort of output from the ad coordinator. So it says the actual idea started out as a joke. We said how brilliant it would be if you had a drink and something shocking happened, but so quickly that nobody else saw it. We also had an idea that it was only when the commentators rewound the film that you could see what happens. The commentators in the advert were actually from an idea we had from another ad, but we decided to mash the two together. We originally had American football commentators, but we were asked to make everything more British. So we got actor Hugh Dennis to do a commentary and contrast that with the dry and amusing delivery of ex-footballer Ray Wilkins. And again, his words, at first we thought the ad would have a fat orange genie who ran up and kicked the drinker on the bum. Of course, the advertising authority at the time said no way. We got the script cleared by changing the kick to a pleasant Morecambe and Wise style slap on the face. I think it's safe to say the little slap got a bit out of hand. We went to the park to do a test film, which basically involved us, two grown men, mucking about tangoing each other. As we messed around, we realised the little slap just wasn't powerful enough, so we exaggerated it. If you watch the ad, the orange man's arms go way back before he slaps a person in the face. We even got jazz performer Gil Scott-Heron, because of his deep charismatic voice, to do the you know when you've been tangoed line. And basically, yeah, it continued, and the reason why it got banned was because kids were doing it up and down the country in playgrounds, of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it got banned, and we had to write a new version in which the orange man comes up and gives the tango drinker a big kiss, because there were, I never remember if these were just like rumors or there were a couple, but there was always rumors that they were perforating eardrums because they were slapping kids over both ears. Or people, that was ultimately where the complaints came from for that.
See, times were simpler back then because the 90s kids couldn't record getting their eardrums perforated by one another. Yes. You know, phones down, living in the moment, making each other deaf, you know. It's just, I remember when I was in like early high school, when mobile phones were slowly evolving, you know, they started getting like the very grainy cameras, and happy slapping started becoming a really big thing. Well, I say big thing, more like a big problem. So I can only imagine what those videos would have been like if they had that technology back in the early 90s.
I clearly remember this ad, and I remember it being a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't about to go run out and sat people around the head with a full-on arm swing. From what I remember, I think Tango at the time were one of those brands then that tried to always do, and I want to use the word edgy, I know that's cliched now, but I think they tried to be innovative with their ads. So yeah, this got banned, and I love the fact that they kept it the same. They just then made him kiss the guy rather than slap him.
Well, props to them for being a bit more gentle.
Yes. Yeah, but my last thing on this is I was thinking that it is funny how things get bad. You know, we can't have good things because everyone gets things banned and taken away. But it's like, you know, if you think, okay, cartoons, I guess, you know, even as a kid, you should get the idea between real life and cartoons. But you see, worse than kids' programs, especially at the time, and cartoons, worse violence going on in that than obviously an over-the-top painted bald man running out of a corner and slapping someone who's just drunk a can of Tango. I don't know. Or is it just me? I don't know.
I mean, that's just nightmare fuel for me personally. Well, nightmare fuel for me, but it's probably like a, you know, Saturday night in Glasgow. Just a balding orange man running at you.
I might have to tweet some of these ads out, or at least link to them. I think, yeah, if you look back at it now, did you say you'd watched this again recently when I mentioned this? Or
oh no, I just googled it there just to double check, and I remembered the "You've been tangled" line, but yeah, as soon as I saw that, I thought, what the heck is that?
Yeah, it's pretty tame, though, in terms of an ad now, isn't it, really?
Compared to some of the ones we're probably going to be talking about, yeah.
On that, then, over to you for your next example.
Well, keeping that on beverages, I suppose it would be amiss of me not to bring up Iron Brew, which, oh my goodness, Iron Brew has like a long history of having quite... maybe provocative is the right word, adverts. Like, have you ever seen the Iron Brew adverts?
No, I remember there being stories about them, but I don't think I've ever got to see them.
Because as far as I know, I don't think many of them were banned, and the kind of period I'm talking about was when their marketing team actually had teeth, because recently I've seen the Iron Brew adverts. And for some reason, I don't know if it's just because they're trying to appeal to like an American audience or what it is, because they're like, oh, it tastes like bubblegum. No, it tastes like Tutti Frutti. And I'm watching this as a Scottish person going, what the hell are you two talking about? It tastes like Iron Brew, you know. But and this is like in 2022. You're like, oh, come on, bring back the, you know, provocative adverts. Like there was one where they had, I think it was, you know that scene in Austin Powers where they nearly swear, but then it cuts to someone else.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, to say some, they had a very similar one, but it was, like, old people drinking the, it was, like, a fiery type of Iron Brew, and they would be like, oh, my grandson told me to have this drink, and then they drink it, and they go, oh, that tastes like, and then someone would say, like, oh, Shih Tzu, this is my new dog, and you're like, oh, my God, how did they get away with that? But the adverts before that I'm going to talk about, there was like a series of black and white adverts. So for whatever reason, I don't know why they were in black and white, but there was ones like a granny going through like a street, and you know, she's waving very nicely, and then she pulls down her beanie hat and it turns into a balaclava, and then she robs like the store of all its Iron Brew. It's amazing. There was another one where it was a granddad asks his grandson for a sip of Iron Brew. So he takes his teeth out and then he slurps like very loudly. Later on, you had like quite, you know, edgy ones where like it was the Iron Brew gets you through adverts. So it was like ones where this guy just has a baby with his wife, and they say, what do you want to call it? And the baby say, I'm sorry, and the wife says, I want to call it Fanny after my gran or something like that. And of course, for anyone who doesn't know, Fanny is of course very, you know, rude slang for someone's private parts or a woman's private parts, but also if you call someone a fanny, it means you're an idiot. Yeah, so yeah, in a very rude way, but at least that, so you know, people keep saying, you know, oh, little Fanny, you're just like your dad. And, you know, he's drinking like Iron Brew vigorously in the background. So they've always had that reputation in Scotland. And you always look at it like, you know, it's like our comedy version of the John Lewis adverts. You always wait to see what they're doing next. But the one I want to bring up is, and again, it kind of links back to the Yorkie one. where it's like this 1950s family, and you know, they're singing around the piano and they're playing it. And basically the punchline is the mum of the family ends the song by saying, like, "I love Iron Brew, even though I used to be a man." And then, you know, the family looks shocked and everything, and they look at her, and, you know, it ends with her, like, shaving and whistling the theme tune. And for obvious reasons, nowadays you can see why that would be considered, like, offensive. But I think even back then, although I do remember it being on TV, so I don't think it caused as much of an uproar. Like, obviously, I was outside that kind of community and everything, so I wouldn't have been aware of that conversation. But, you know, it was on for, like, a while, and then it just disappeared. But I think of all the Iron Brew adverts, that was one of the few that did cause, like, a lot of, well, as you said before, complaints from Scotland.
When you were saying those, I think I remember the granny one. I think I remember the childbirth one. But I don't know if it was more that it was shown on TV shows here. You know, you used to get the shows that looked at funny TV or bizarre TV.
Yeah. I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, the band one and the other one, I don't recall at all. So I do wonder if maybe it was regionalised, because we do have regionalised ads here, don't we? I mean, not just in the UK or say in England itself, but between, say, Scotland, England and Wales, you would have different on the broadcasting regions, right? But I don't I don't ever recall that one, or either that or it got banned quickly.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. There was like quite a few after that, because they had that campaign of the black and white ones, and then they moved on. And they had it on billboards and things like that. I do remember that growing up and seeing them all over the place. And again, I'm not saying like you couldn't turn round the corner and not see an Iron Brew advert, but relatively prominent in the streets.
Yeah, sort of. But compared to kind of mine, I could absolutely see why that one got banned. It's like I said, I mean, it's just amazing how the legislation or what can be cleared, because one of the things I've got to say, because I saw it in one of my next examples, is there is something also called the Broadcast Advertising Clearance Centre, which does look at ad campaigns beforehand and say yes or no. And I think then the ASA can step in and say, you're not playing that anymore. So it's amazing how some of them got cleared even at that time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The amount of like regulations and hoops they'd have to jump through just to make it safe. But I'm actually surprised that they even got to that stage of airing it before people complained and went, well, actually, it's a bit, you know, risky, or it's not a funny joke or whatever. Yeah, it's surprising that they didn't stop it at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Were there any others?
Oh, there's hundreds. There was Iron Brew 32, which was like a short-lived energy drink. And the only reason I remember it is because there was an advert where it'd be like someone in a library, and then a guy in a bird costume would like crash through the wall, and he would have the very gruff voice, and he'd be like, "Drink Iron Brew 32, you know, and you'd be like, what the hell? But it's nothing compared to the Tango Man, because I was thinking, did they get as bad? Because the other one you actually reminded me of there, I don't know if that one did get banned. The one where, as you said, it's a woman giving birth and the baby's not coming out, so the nurse tries to coax the baby out by holding a can of Iron Brew between the legs. I'm not saying it's highbrow advertising here, by the way. I just want to say that. But yeah, the baby takes it, drinks it, and then it fires out a you-know-what, you know.
You know what? I'm glad you've done this one, though, because your accent at least is doing it justice. I don't think I could have. So I'm glad I didn't find this one.
Oh, well, actually, there is one that I think you might appreciate. There's one, again, that was the same kind of ad campaign for, you know, the one I told you about, the fanny one. And I can't believe I'm saying that in a very serious way, but you know, there was a couple of them, some more stupid than others. Like, there was one where it was a group of teenage boys fawning over the friend's mum who had like a low-cut dress. Like, I can imagine that would have got complaints. But the other one, which I did find quite funny, was it was like a middle-aged man who His whole house is adorned in like Scotland paraphernalia. So he's got like the flag, he's got like the Scotland jersey on and everything. And he sees his daughter come home with her new boyfriend, and the new boyfriend is like from the north of England, and he's got like the England top on, he's got like a bulldog that farts on his like Scotland rug and everything, and he's just chugging down Ironbrew, being like, oh, I've got to get through this. And the tagline, of course, being Ironbrew will get you through. But after that kind of period, I mean, they still technically show them, but after that, they kind of made it more American-centric, and I've got no idea why. Because as far as I know, well, as I said, they have these adverts where, as American actors, or American accents, sorry, that they'll say, oh, Ironbrew tastes like Tutti Frutti. Oh no, it tastes like bubblegum. And they'll be like in the Wild West, or they'll be like in a, you know, like a Sopranos film or something that. Or, you know, yeah, it just feels very Americanized. And I find it baffling because, as far as I know, and any Americans listening, like, please feel free to reach out to me and say, oh no, it's a thriving industry. But as far as I remember, it's quite hard to get over there, other than, you know, the usual import shops and things. But I just don't get why they went that direction.
Yeah, I absolutely don't recall it. That's a new one on me. I am going to stay with food and drink. It feels like food and drink is where it's all at. And I've got KFC. Are you aware of any KFC ones?
Is this the mouth? Their mouths are full when they're singing?
Well, yep. There's two, right? There's two I found. So you've got the one that I actually found. I don't believe it was actually bad, but it was one of the most complained about adverts at the time. I think it was something like 2011, 2012. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, because it definitely hasn't aired since then, a KFC advert that shows people singing with their mouths full has prompted more than 1,000 angry parents to voice their disgust, making it the UK's most complained about commercial at the time. So far, 1,040, and I think another number I saw quoted 1,620, people have complained about the commercial, which shows a group of emergency call centre workers singing down the phone while eating their lunches. Many parents were concerned that the advert encouraged bad manners, but the fast food chain refused to drop the campaign, saying it was meant to be funny. It's not KFC's aim to offend or upset the viewing public with our new ad, and we apologise if we have done so. The ad is intended to be humorous and has been fully approved by the Broadcast Advertising Clearance Centre. And as mentioned, they advise advertisers on the suitability of campaigns before they could be shown on TV. However, the ASA, which rules on public complaints, still has the power to ban or restrict them. So yeah, in 2 weeks, it got 1,040 complaints because parents thought it was bad. And to me, I think it should be complained about because I just think it was a dreadful ad. And like you said, yeah, there was, I think, three women sitting in an office and they just had their mouth full of chicken and were just singing sentences to each other, weren't they?
Yeah, it's a bizarre advert. Like, it's not one you would think that would be complained about, like what we were talking about before, where you think, all right, an advert about someone getting, you know, horribly hurt or something like that, you think, oh yeah, that's gonna get banned, and then it doesn't get banned. But then you look at an advert like this, which, well, other than it being a bit annoying, it's relatively inoffensive, and then you look at all the complaints and you're like, really? This is the one that you're going to die on this hill for? The KFC singing advert? Although, to be fair, if I called a call centre and they were doing that, I think I would be a bit peeved off. But
you see, and that's it. And I thought the nature of the complaint would be more that it showed people in an emergency call centre. Now, I don't think we know what emergency call centre, but you'd like to think it's obviously potentially to do with, you know, like the emergency services. Maybe it shows them in a bad light doing that. You'd think that would be the complaint, but it's not. It's purely the fact they're singing with their mouths full of chicken and spitting everywhere. And that's what I said at the start. I think for me, the amazing thing with this one is what they actually pick up as the thing to complain about. Yeah, I just found it odd.
Yeah, it is very surreal. As I said, it's not overly offensive, but at the same time, I don't get why so many people did complain about it. You kind of think, surely there's... And again, I don't want to police what people are offended at or aren't offended at, but I'm thinking, really, a mouthful of chicken? That's your go-to for being offended? That's your benchmark? Yeah, it just seems very, very low.
Yeah, when you say, look, I'll go back to what I said earlier about what they're probably watching on kids' TV. Worse than that. But it's not the first time, it's not the only time KFC were causing offence over here. So in 2019, there was a poster and press ad that got banned by the ASA for causing offence. And the work, which appeared at bus stations and in the Sun and Metro newspapers in September as part of a broader campaign, prompted, okay, not many, but 40 complaints from members of the public. But you see, only 40, but it got banned. And the reason being was it had in big writing, "What the cluck, $1.99 fill up lunch." So obviously, as the ASA said, it's clear that they're alluding to what the F. And so it got banned because of the clear message it was actually trying to do. And apparently, KFC had previously got 13 complaints about KFC's famed FCK print ad, which was released a year before. So yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that the ad that got 1,040 complaints was allowed to air, but one... Which again, I watch it, and yeah, of course, what the cluck, you get what they're trying to do, but it feels again kind of, I don't know, is it inoffensive? Especially, I'm sorry, but the Sun as well, you probably, mind you, back then they probably got rid of page three then, but you probably wouldn't want your kids reading the Sun anyway, right? So
yeah. Kids say things like "what the heck" or "what the fudge," you know. It's not a stretch to replace words. You know, I mean, parents, I mean, I'm speaking right now as someone who isn't a parent, but you know, when you're around kids, you don't say, well, you would hope, you know, you would say like, be overly sweary towards them or, you know, near them. So like, it's not unheard of to kind of change your language to be like, "oh, what the heck, oh darn, oh swizzle sticks," you know. So what the cluck doesn't seem that much of a stretch, but those 40 people must have like high positions of power or something to be like, this advert must come down right now. I bet you they work for McDonald's.
Well, yes. Yeah, and just final thing from me on the "what the cluck," KFC said that they didn't agree, obviously, that the word was used as a substitute for a swear word. It instead claimed the word "cluck" was used as an onomatopoeic reference to the noise made by a chicken. And it also said it was unlikely that children would make any connection between "cluck" and the swear word, which I find really interesting because technically children shouldn't know that word, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... it feels like there's a really good case there, but obviously we know that it's probably the first word, especially when you're learning a new language as well. You learn the swear words, right? So, yeah, find out a fascinating one. But yeah, KFC, naughty for, not naughty for spitting while singing, but naughty for "what the cluck."
So the next one I've got is a bit more on the serious but farcical side. And technically, this one didn't get banned as such, but it did get moved to post-watershed. This is how bad it was. Well, I suppose there's two adverts I kind of want to bring up. One that I know you'll be familiar with, and the other one you'll probably not be familiar with. So,
sorry, and I was just going to say, but no, just for people, maybe younger people, or because I don't know if there's watershed anymore, but we used to have, I think it was 9 p.m, wasn't it? Before 9 p.m was pre-watershed, where you could... It was more censored, supposedly, what was on TV. After 9 o'clock, that was when children were supposed to have been in bed, and then you could have more edgy stuff, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Have you ever tried to watch Bruce Almighty or these very tame comedies that are shown before 9 p.m. and they are just censored to hell? And it's like, you can tell they've been chopped up and everything. In fact, there's an episode still on have that. Oh, yeah, of course.
Because but, I swear, and I'm sure I'm not imagining it, that Die Hard used to be shown early on in the day, and it was Yippee-ki-yay Melon Farmers. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, there's a long history of that phrase being censored.
Sorry, I'm digressing.
So there's two particular adverts I want to bring up. One relatively serious and one serious but silly. So I'll start with the silly and quote-unquote fun here. Both of these are road safety PSAs, and I know I'm kind of cheating by throwing PSAs in there because they're inherently controversial. They're supposed to be provocative and people do complain about them. But the one that I saw, and I remember I saw the memes of it before I actually saw the real advert, and this was a road safety advert from, I think it was Northern Ireland. I don't know if it was like a government advert or what it was, but it was a road safety one. And it shows you like this group of children out in the middle of a forest and they're having like a picnic and everything. And it's just like a primary school class, so like really young tiny tots. And, you know, they're talking, they're having fun, and it keeps cutting between them and this young man who is late for his work. So he grabs his keys, grabs his coat, he starts running out, he starts driving at high speeds. Now, the thing that everyone was kind of laughing slash shocked at was there's a scene where he tries to take like a turn too fast and his car goes flying over this wall towards the kids, to which the car rolls over. But the fact that the CGI was just so over the top, you know, it was like one of those ones that it tries to be shocking to say slow down, that you know, it was just over the top. And don't get me wrong, like, I don't think anybody in their right mind would take pleasure in, you know, watching an advert that has kids getting crushed by a car. But at the same time, it was just so bizarre. You know, you're watching it and thinking, really, you couldn't have taken like a more serious thing. Like, see if they cut to black or something just as a car was coming over or something. I feel as if that would have made a really big impact. People would have been like, oh my God. Because right now in Scotland, I don't know if you've seen these, but we've got a really stupid advert going around right now for road safety, and it's drive like your grand's in the car. So it's like a guy driving down and then a granny is like hiding in the glove compartment or under the seat being like, what are you doing? I can't believe you're driving at 90 miles an hour. And it's like, yeah, we have come a long way. And that actually brings me on to the next one, which is the, I don't know if you remember this one, the 30 for a reason advert, where I think it gave the Nation collective nightmares, where it basically zooms in, and younger listeners, I apologise for this like imagery here, but...
I think I know the one you're saying now. Yep, sorry, go on.
Where it focuses on an image of a quote-unquote dead girl. And I use quote-unquote because, you know, obviously they're actors, it's not meant to be real, but, you know, she's dead, and then all of a sudden time starts reversing and like her bones all click into place. You can hear it and you can see her getting dragged onto the road, and then she has this like last gasp as she comes back to life, and the tagline is, hit me at 30 and I have an 80% chance of living. So it was basically saying, yeah, don't go at 40 miles an hour, go at 30 and at least, you know, stay within the speed limit. And it is amazing though, the difference between the two, because I feel as if that last one is effective, but I'm not sure if that one got banned, but it definitely got a lot of complaints and it caused a lot of nightmares with kids at the time.
Wasn't there also a similar one where it was people in the back not wearing a seatbelt and then flying forwards? I think there was one. I'll be honest, right? As a kid, we used to see these PSAs in school. They would show you certain things like that, and they are absolutely terrifying. I mean, I know we're digressing here, but there's one that always stays with me because I remember the kid's name in it. Obviously, it's actors, but it was called Robbie. And it was where some kids threw his trainers up over, like, I think it was like a live electric cable. And so he picks up a metal bar to try and knock them down. and obviously gets electrocuted. And that has stayed with me all these years later as a grown man. That this is how, that they kind of try to get you. And I get they're trying to make an impact. But yeah, the 30 for a reason, I remember being quite discussion worthy at the time.
Funny enough, though, like, go back to what you were saying about the electric PSAs, because I remember even in the like late 90s, early 2000s, when I was in primary school, I always remember they showed us, and I think it was a 70s or 80s PSA, I can't remember, but it was in a similar vein of this girl throws a frisbee into one of these like power station bits. And then they're like, oh, go in, go get it. And then this poor kid like gets fried just by trying to get it. And then his brother goes in, tries the same thing. He gets fried. You've got a 2-for-1 deal there. And you're like, Jesus Christ. And they showed us that when we were relatively young. Like, they do not mess around. And I feel as if for PSAs, they do need that kind of thing. Like, there was one I heard of recently. Like, I'd never seen this advert, and I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called Sunday Lunch, I think. And it's basically talking about, like, crime and how if you don't report it to the police and things, then it's just as bad as you committing the crime. And basically, it's like a family who are together, and then the mother just all of a sudden brings out a gun and on camera just shoots her youngest child in the back of the head. And it's just like, oh my God, like, PSAs do not mess around, for better or for worse, because I know that's the point of them, but it's probably no wonder why they are the main target for the ASA.
Okay, sorry, I'm just realising the time here, and we've probably got a few more to get through. There's probably one we've probably both got here, which, and so I'll probably let you speak about it if you have, but we've got the, or I've got the Xbox Life is Short ad.
Yeah, I've got that.
do you want to discuss that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was a weird one, because I do remember this being on TV, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. And I always wondered, well, where did it go? And yeah, of course they canned it quite early on, but yeah, the premise of the advert is it's a woman given birth, and she shoots the baby out, and the baby just starts growing as it's flying through the air, and it grows into an old man, and then it smacks the body into an open grave. And then I think the tagline something like is like, life is short or something, Xbox, something like that. It was a surreal advert, right?
I remember that, and I actually kind of like the idea of the advert. The way it's done is obviously is there to shock. So like you said, it's just the kid, the baby flies out through the window at the hospital, and it's really fast. And I think the problem is, I found out about it, I was reading about it, is because the boy and the man are screaming the whole time. And I think that's why it got banned, because it prompted 136 complaints from viewers, including, and this is also, like I said, people watching are in different spaces. So it included a woman who had lost a baby during childbirth at the time, and 20 other people who had suffered bereavements. So the Independent Television Commission at the time ordered Microsoft to withdraw the ad and make changes after viewers said it was offensive, shocking, and in bad taste. So, and it ended with the line, "Life is short, play more." Microsoft insisted the advert designed to spearhead its campaign for the Xbox on the competitive console market conveyed a positive statement about life. But, so yeah, the commission said it received complaints from a pregnant woman and a new mother about the childbirth scene. Others felt the ending was extremely disturbing. Yeah, I think because the man screams throughout his life journey suggests a traumatic experience, which with the reminder that life is short made the final scene more shocking. So yeah, it was banned more because the ad didn't convey any humor to the commission at the time. So it's the fact that the chap and the boy and the old man were screaming with the abrupt smashing into the grave. That's ultimately why it got pulled.
Yeah, it's quite a, not a violent, but it's quite an aggressive advert. But as you
said, that's a good word, actually.
Like, don't get me wrong, Xbox have always been kind of that too cool for school bad boy, like kind of the next evolution to what Sega wishes they could be. You know, it was like when you had Nintendo that was family friendly, then Sega was the, oh, it's the teenage console, it's the cooler console, and then obviously times change, demographics change, you have to be more edgy and everything. You get a screaming baby turning into an old man and getting, you know, thrown away, as it were. Yeah,
if you then, and I know it's a, your previous example was a PSA, which are by design supposed to be shocking. That was probably, well, not probably, it's far worse in terms of what it conveyed than the Microsoft advert.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got a few quick ones, and then I did have some of the most complained about. So if I just do some quick fire ones first.
Yeah, go for it.
I've got hot noodle advert that, or these might not necessarily have been banned, but ones that were found to be offensive or complained about. A pot noodle advert, so you think quite inoffensive there, showed a man with a giant brass horn in his trousers, attracted 61 complaints in its first 11 days on air. Last year, or it might be the year before now, most offensive TV advert was for Mr. Kipling's mince pies.
And it showed,
yes, it showed a woman giving birth during a nativity play, and it attracted 806 complaints.
Oh my God.
And I remember this one in 2003, the Independent Television Commission, which used to regulate television advertising, received 860 complaints about a Wrigley's chewing gum commercial that showed a man with bad breath coughing up a dog.
Yeah, I had never heard about this advert until I was really? Looking into this, and I saw him throw up a dog, and I was like, what the hell, I was like oh my god.
And the last quick fire one, in 1995, a British Safety Council leaflet that promoted safe sex by portraying the Pope in a crash helmet prompted 1100 complaints.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right, do you have any other examples we can shoot through?
No, actually, not too many. Like, I was going to say about the pot noodle one, as you said, that was just surreal. There was one that I didn't realise. Like, do you remember Phones for You?
Yes, yeah.
There was like a, I don't even know if they still exist now. It was like a phone shop, you know, as the name suggests. But there was one where they tried to emulate the, I think it's the girl from The Ring, you know, the it's a woman in a car park, or you know, one of these like underground car parks. She looks over, the wee girl's standing at the window, and then she starts saying, "Oh, by the way, you could get deals on this or that." And you're like, "Oh God!" But no, other than that, and there is one particular Christmas one I was going to bring up, but I feel as if you're going to bring it up in your top 10.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it is, do you know what, I'm not necessarily going to do the whole top 10 because, if people are counting and there's less than 10, it's because some would have already been mentioned, but I probably won't go into too much details on these, but these were the most, or a list of the most complained adverts of all time, and some of these are really bad or in real poor taste. I'm only going to say them as well, one, because the year these aren't like 30 or 40 years ago. If you want to see like some really shocking ads, have a look at the ones from the 60s, the 50s and 60s, because, you know, and we can look back at those and say, yeah, they're absolutely sexist and we shouldn't, you know, they should have been banned then. Mm-hmm. But we're still doing things now that, like we've said, amazing how it's got aired. So the number one most complained about advert was for Paddy Power. So for those who don't know, that's a betting company, isn't it? It's an Irish betting company. This ad got 5,523 complaints, and it was about Oscar Pistorius. So again, people don't know, he's a South African Paralympian star who I think he was cleared of murdering his girlfriend after a tragic shooting in their apartment. Yeah, the bookmakers, they were offering odds, I think, during it. So this was the advert featured Pistorius superimposed on a statue of an Oscar award alongside the tagline, "It's Oscar time, money back if he walks." It's
It's in poor taste, yeah.
It's incredibly, because I think he was convicted later that year, actually, and was sentenced to 13 years. But it's like, at what, you know, sometimes, and I've said this on a few episodes of ours where we've discussed like advertising, it's like, where's that person that sort of says to the people that have come up with this, look, no, you know, no, just stop it. And the fact it gets to the point where it's published, that is just, is astonishing. Yeah. So again, we're talking, that must have been 2013, 2014. So we're not talking, you know, in years where legislation wasn't in place. The next one was Tesco, the one you were alluding to, Father Christmas's COVID passport. This was 3,000 complaints. This was, 2021. The TV campaign featured Father Christmas on his way to deliver presents across the world and using a COVID vaccine passport to get through airport security. The majority of the complaints asserted that the ad was coercive and encouraged medical discrimination based on vaccine status. So
that one, to me personally, is just so baffling, because I remember everybody complaining about it. There was the big uproar on, you know, like Twitter, on like all these tabloid papers and things. And I remember watching it thinking, okay, I'll go in blind. I have no idea why people are complaining about this. And I watched it, and then by the end of it, I was like, what was offensive about that? And then I went back, and you know, because they were complaining about that particular part, I was like, oh, for God's sake.
There's another COVID-related one, Ryanair, Jab and Go, that attracted 2,371 complaints. So the British public felt the ads trivialised the ongoing restrictions and effects on society, and that the ads were misleading and socially irresponsible. There was one, scoot over it quickly, booking.com, and similar to What the Cluck, they were using the word booking as a substitute for another word, a more explicit word. So that got complained about by 2,500 people.
Wow.
This one again is another Paddy Power one. And yeah, Paddy Power, kind of like they do again, they like to poke fun at people and things or celebrities, don't they? Now, this one again was 2010. It attracted 1,313 complaints for Blind Wanderers FC, and it showed a football match between two blind teams. The football, which had a bell and its players could hear, was kicked out of play, frightening a cat, which then ran onto the pitch. And the cat also had a bell on its collars and is then kicked off the pitch by a player into a tree. And, you know, it's just, there's, which part of that do you not want to, you know, say it should have been banned for? Do you know what I mean? I mean,
the crazy thing is, I'm pretty sure that's not the first time that's happened. And not so much for kicking the cat, but I'm sure ages ago there was a Specsavers advert where it was a guy who clearly couldn't see, and he saw like this ball like getting thrown into the air, and he went to headbutt it, you know, to headbutt it back to them. But when you looked closer to it, it was a bowling ball. And then the tagline was like, oh, should have gone to Specsavers. And it was like, Jesus. Like, what are you thinking? Yeah.
I mean, this one was done, obviously, for animal cruelty, you know, for ridiculing the blind, or potentially ridiculing the blind. Mm-hmm. And Paddy Power's defence was saying the advert featured an action so unlikely it was absurd, but it retracted those complaints and got pulled. Go Compare, which again you think, how's Go Compare got complained about? But it was the guy, so again, for people in the States, Go Compare is a market comparison, isn't it? Like you can compare your insurance and car insurance, home insurance, etc. And it's got, ironically, a Welsh opera singer, but dressed up or sings as an Italian, and it's got the Italian accent. It come under fire because he's called Compario. He showed their mascot, Tenor Compario, getting into a car accident. In the advert, which attracted over 300 complaints, he is seen hitting a fallen tree at high speed before flipping the car, then emerging to sing Go Compare. The road safety charity Brake said the advert trivialised the deaths on British roads. Go Compare defended itself by saying, we are highlighting how the unexpected can happen and how good quality insurance is essential. You think they're doing it for laughs, right? Which kind of negates that.
Well, on the other hand, I always remember growing up and hearing the Go Compare adverts, because if you're British, you know, listening to this, you'll know exactly the theme tune for it, you know, the Go Compare. And that's probably caused like a couple of your listeners to flip a chair, so apologies. But you had like this advert where he did sing that song, and that's all he did. He popped up and sang Go Compare. But then after that, they kind of leaned into the people hating the Go Compare guy. And this is something that I've talked about with my friends, where they had like this, basically this nationwide bullying campaign, where they had people like saying, oh, if I had the Go Compare man, this is what I'd do to him. Right. I'd do this.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they blew him up at one point. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they were like, you know, throwing things at him. And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It was... like, you know, obviously they're looking at it as, oh, haha, comedy, people hate them, so we're going to do this, like, self-deprecating humour kind of thing, but Jesus, like, why would you, you know, I don't know, like, I'm surprised that's not the reason they got shelved. And granted, now you look at Go Compare adverts, like, I've only seen a handful, but again, they're so safe, they're just very safe, they're very clinical, they're not... they're inoffensive, really.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know. Yeah.
No. And like I said, I think it's the fact that, yeah, he flips the card and gets out and sings that song, you know. I think it's just, it's kind of like cartoon violence they were trying to portray, but in the real world, and when you're actually advertising for car insurance, I guess the two don't mix.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just going to do two more quick ones. Deliveroo had 300 complaints in 2019. And I'm going to be honest, I've never used Deliveroo or Just Eat, so I don't know if it's still a thing that happens, but there was an ad, and I remember it, where a mother gets home and she dishes out from a single bag. She gets a delivery from a delivery driver, and in the bag she pulls out something from multiple different fast food retailers.
Oh yeah.
But at the time you couldn't actually do that. You had to do multiple orders from each shop. So you couldn't just say, right, I want a KFC, a McDonald's, a Burger King, and do it all in one. So people were saying that was misleading, which again, I kind of get. Whether it deserved that many complaints, I don't know. But the ASA did rule that it was wrong to suggest deliveries could be made from multiple restaurants in a single package. So I guess they're just doing their job of making sure that what goes out is, what's the word, correct and
accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. The last one was one I didn't know about either, but it was Photobox, which again, you see, it just feels like such an innocuous one.
Yeah.
So again, Photobox are a photo printing company, as you expect. It attracted 212 complaints in 2018. And basically the RSPCA also complained because it showed a family enjoying a barbecue and taking a photograph of their son sitting on top of their Great Dane. The advert was cleared by the ASA after more than 200 people complained on the grounds of animal cruelty and health and safety. They were allowed, or they were cleared, because they were content that the two dogs used for the ad were not harmed during production, and because of that we had no reason to believe the dogs used for the ad were mistreated. I think what that just shows is the breadth of, you know, what you have to do to be a responsible advertiser, I guess. Yeah, because we've gone the whole gamut from things that we've both said, yep, rightly complained about a ban, through to ones that initially look innocuous, like the delivery one.
No, you're absolutely right. It does seem as if they are quite lenient to begin with. Like, they'll say, oh, this is a guideline you have to adjust yourselves to, and then as soon as it goes out, they're like, oh, we've made a terrible mistake, we better pull it out. But something that, and something that you mentioned, like, at the beginning of the episode, I was quite interested in, and it reminds me of an example that I saw online, was the fact that the ASA have expanded their reach, not just to, you know, like, TV and things like that, but also the internet. Like, have you seen any examples of them reaching onto the internet to say, no, that advert's not okay?
I mean, I haven't got examples of that. I'm wondering if we did this episode next year. I think it's probably more in the last year or so, because the stats I had from the ASA was from 21, which, okay, I'm not saying the internet was new then, but
yeah,
I wonder if we go more, because, yeah, the kind of the fake ads and that you see on Facebook, etc. now are just amazing, really.
Well, the one that surprised me was there's an English creator called, I think his name's Tomska, that's the name he goes by, and he's this YouTuber who, you know, does all these kind of dark comedy videos and things like that, sometimes a bit too far, sometimes, you know, this and that. But long story short, I remember he put out a video once saying that he actually got contacted by the ASA for some of his adverts. So basically he was sponsored by a VPN company and he wanted to see how edgy and like violent and dark he can make his adverts until the sponsors actually dropped him or said, no, this isn't appropriate. But apparently he did one that was like so bad that the ASA had to step in and say, no, listen, you're putting out an advert that's implying like threats against, because I can't remember if it was an advert where it was like he was pointing a gun or a weapon at the screen being like, oh, you should get this VPN or else, you know, blah blah blah, and they're like, listen, kids are going to be watching this. And it is actually interesting to think that, as you said, even as early as next year we could be doing another episode like this where, you know, it's a whole lot of bad adverts from the internet as opposed to television.
Well, they're banning adverts, or adverts get complained about all the time. And the thing, I guess, that throws up is that it gets that far. I mean, the companies have spent that money and it's actually aired to upset people and then it gets pulled. Anyway, I guess it is an interesting world in the sense of we've seen some really simple ones, some quite clear ones. But what gets complained about may not necessarily be the most egregious ones that you and I think are egregious. Okay, well, it's a really interesting topic when you start deep diving into it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Was there anything else that you had on this before we end?
No. All I would say is just, it's amazing how, almost how far, how much we've taken a step backwards almost in terms of advertising, because it feels as if nowadays a lot of adverts are, and again, like, I'm not a big TV watcher nowadays, so I can't like say 100% that, oh, this advert's, you know, terrible, this one's good, this one's bad. But I mean, growing up in kind of the 90s, early 2000s, it is interesting to see that there was that shift of advertisers trying to push the limits of what they could get away with. And don't get me wrong, it's successful if people are talking about it, but at the same time, it feels as if now a lot of companies are kind of playing it safe to first and foremost get the product out there and just have a, you know, clean slate. But that's the thing as well, and apologies, like, I'm kind of getting too far in the future here, but it's the fact that now the adverts are changing, like, it's no longer, and it's something I've found quite interesting, that see when you go into Twitter or YouTube or TikTok or things like that, and you see how nowadays it's influencers that they've got, and don't get me wrong, they've always had the celebrity for these adverts, but now it looks as if it is the influencer that has like millions of followers, and I have to admit, some of them I look at and I'm like, I have no idea who you are. Oh, they've got 50 million followers. I'm like, great, but I've got no idea. I've got video game consoles older than you. I've got no idea. But yeah, it's like, it's going to be interesting to see. And again, I sound so nerdy to say, oh, it'll be cool to see how it'll be regulated in the future, because I know there will be that, you know, it'll have to adapt and there will be regulations and guidelines kind of put in. But it is interesting to see that, like, from, you know, as you said, like the early days of, like, you know, the 60s and kind of controversial of the time moments you've got there, to 90s, early 2000s, 2010s, and now we're moving into this like next age of adverts and things, and there's going to be a whole slew, I know, that are just going to be banned or
I was gonna say, you've given me three things, right, and I'm bound to forget one, so if it might just become two things. But actually, yeah, jumping back to what you're saying about online adverts, the ones that used to bug me a lot, the ones where you saw ads for mobile games but they showed gameplay that wasn't in the game.
Oh, they're still around. Yeah,
are they still around? So you might, sadly, get, like, yeah, I don't know, like a say, a Tetris example of a game, and the advert for it would be showing you having to make a decision, like somebody was freezing cold in a room, so did you light the wood first with a match or did you put a fire on or something, which were nothing to do with the game. The second thing is that, yeah, ads online, the thing I find interesting is a lot of them, especially on YouTube, are almost like presentations, aren't they, rather than clear ads. And I think they've tried to clamp down on it, but you'd get an ad, and normally it's, I get annoyed with 30-second unskippable ads, but you'd sometimes get like the 2.5-minute ones of like a guy or a woman saying, oh, do you want to know how I made money? And it was almost like a presentation, like a mini YouTube video, rather than it being what it was, an advert. And yep, absolutely, I've forgotten what the third point was. It'll come to me. But anyway, right, well, thank you for joining me on this discussion. Anything you want to say again, plug for your pod before we go?
Yeah, so if you want to hear more of my ramblings on like different topics, and especially if you want to catch our episode on As Dusk Falls, which I can't believe that's the only episode you've done on the podcast. I need to get you back.
You do anything Mass Effect or specific games, exactly. I'm absolutely there.
Oh, I'll need to play through them first. I played the first one, but the other two I'll need to play through. But actually, that's a good shout. But yeah, if you want to listen to that episode or any content from ourselves, yeah, you can hear it on our website, podpage.com/chatsunami. You can also catch us on all good podcast apps. We're also on most social medias. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, although we don't use TikTok as much, and such, under the name Chatsunami. Or if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, that's Chatsunami Pod. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Well, thank you again. And all that's left from me is, I know there are a lot of podcasts from which you can choose, so I thank you for listening to Casting Views.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a spark and force feed it. Come on.